So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
So I actually just went to a funeral today. I did not wear this. And I really hope that my husband and I are sort of wrapping up this chapter of our life, which will forever be known as like that time that everyone died. It's true, and it's been sort of awful, you know. I mean, we've lost our parents, we've lost extended relatives, we lost an election. we lost some really good friends, and it would be easy to sort of throw my hands in the air and just be like, how did I get to this place? But the answer is I know. I mean, I was born for this because my parents were going through the exact same phase when I was in high school. And their sort of philosophy about all the sick and dying people in their life was to like invite them to our house. And so it was like the hot spot for convalescing. And like all the grandparents, all the great aunts and uncles, it's like where you came to die. And so, you know, my first geriatric suite mate during that period of time, my freshman year, I believe, was my great aunt Opal. And Aunt Opal was lovely. She had excellent manners. She dressed beautifully. She would make these elaborate scrapbooks full of memories. She wrote poetry. She taught Sunday school. She collected a lot of dainty breakable things. She did not have any children. And, you know, you could go visit my Aunt Opal's house, which was this cute little house over in Alena Village. And you could tell that she was prepped for death. Like she had seen the shadow and she was ready because everything in my Aunt Opal's house was labeled. So like, you know, you like could pick up a tea kettle and look at the bottom and there'd be like the origin of the tea kettle and then a name. And if you're lucky or unlucky, depending on kind of where you stood on the tea kettle, it might be yours. And what I inherited from my Aunt Opal was this really beautiful nightgown, like this vintage nightgown. And it had a note pinned into the pocket that said, this nightgown, this negligee actually, was purchased at Frost Brothers in August of 1928. I paid $7.89 for it, and I wore it on Pete and I's wedding night. I was like, thank you? And even recently when my, you know, my mom passed away, and in the closet where of the room where Aunt Opal stayed, I found this like beautiful vintage suit. And it had a note pinned to the suit that said, please bury me in this when I die. So anyway, Aunt Opal broke her hip and she came to stay with us. And in addition to having a broken hip, she also was experiencing some dementia. And as a result of that, she thought that she was staying most of the time in like a hotel and that I was one of the staffers. And you know, so she would very understandably wake up confused at night, and I could hear her in my room, and I'd hear her door open, and I could hear her come down the hall. She had a walker, you know, and it'd be like, click, click, shuffle, shuffle, click, click, shuffle, shuffle. And she'd throw open the door to my room, and she'd lean over me in my bed, and she'd say, who are you, and why are you in my bed? I mean, it was my bed, but my room was better. And so most of the time I would just like dust out, let Aunt Opal have my bed, find a different place to sleep. And, you know, when I would take her food in her room, and because she had nice manners and because she was staying at a hotel, she would like place her tray outside the door when she was finished. But this is where our relationship really started. Was she, like, if I did a good job, she'd tip me. And so I liked Aunt Opal. She was funny. And so one Friday night, when I was like 14, my parents come to me and they're like, Angie, can you watch Aunt Opal while we go to the funeral home? Because they were in that phase. And so like sexy Friday night date for my parents. And so, you know, I take a look at Aunt Opal. She's kind of in repose in the nice living room on the nice couch. And she's wearing one of those very flimsy nylon nightgowns that little old ladies wear. And she's asleep. So it seems like a pretty easy gig. And so I'm like, yeah, go, you have fun. And so off my parents go. And my first order of business, because I am an industrious little 14-year-old, is to order dinner, and that is pizza. So I pick up the phone. You know, that's when you had to, like, go to the phone and pick it up. Ordered a pizza. And shortly thereafter, I hear my Aunt Opal calling me from the living room. So I head back, and I can immediately tell, like, the whole dynamic has changed. So she's, like, clutching her belly. She says, I don't feel well. I need you to help me get to the restroom. And so right here, it's important to note that Aunt Opal had sort of my family's like density, which what that means is that no matter how thin, always very heavy. And so, you know, it takes a while to like get her up from the sofa. And we start making this slow and very deliberate journey to the guest bathroom that is attached to my parents' kitchen. So about 2 feet outside of the door, her stomach gurgles, and that's when it happened. And by it, I mean shit. Like, it is everywhere. My sweet, polite Aunt Opal just exploded. If she was a volcano, it would have been like an explosive eruption followed by 3 effusive, equally productive eruptions. And it was terrible. And what I realized, because I was responsible, was that I needed to get her to the potty immediately, not because she needed to use it anymore, but so she didn't slip and break her hip again. So I sort of used like my cheerleading and track and field skills to navigate the situation and get Aunt Opal seated carefully on the toilet. And it is that point I decided to make 2 more very important phone calls. First, I call my grandma, who was still alive at that point, and because I sure as shit wasn't going to bother my parents on their big date night at Porter Loring. And I needed help. So I call my grandma, and then I call, like, my best friend, Janie. Because I'm a 14-year-old little girl. That's what you do on Friday night. So, you know, my grandma shows up, and she's in, like, her garden club outfit, and she sort of surveys from the perimeter and immediately decides to call my parents. And then, you know, my parents walk in, and my dad, you have to imagine my dad, he's like 6'2", really handsome sort of cowboy fella with this like dry sense of humor, and he liked to wear a Stetson cowboy hat and cowboy boots, but with like a one-piece Dickies jumpsuit. And to really piss my mom off, he'd like add a pink bandana. And so, you know, he's wearing that, basically. He walks in, again, surveys from the perimeter, and I think he thought it was funny. And so he just sort of looks, nods, and he says, I don't think I've ever seen this much shit outside a cattle trailer. I'm like, indeed, Father. And so I think he was thinking about the upholstery in his pickup truck when he ordered the ambulance. So the ambulance, the pizza driver, and Janie all show up at the same time. The only person who was even slightly confused was the pizza driver. But I took the pizza, I tipped him generously because that's how Aunt Opal taught me to do it. And I sort of rode off into the night with Janie, with my pizza, and I left the cattle trailer situation to my father, I left Aunt Opal to the EMS drivers, and called it a night. So I know that everyone in this room has heard that phrase, the shit hit the fan. And I don't know where it originated, but at my parents' house on Silhouette in 1992, it did indeed hit the fan, so I'm gonna claim it.